South Central.
Inside the 18-yard box. Early cross, far post! Goal!
Soccer.
Return door. Or a tap in for Alex Brosk after the lead-up work from Mikovic and Hall. And they just love having the captain back in the team. They're in front inside 12 minutes.
Yeah, as you heard it on Fox Sports last night, a double for Alex Brosk. A big win for Sydney FC. Mark Redden from Fox Sports to talk us through the round so far and preview a couple of big games coming up tonight. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Brett. How are you, mate?
Going pretty well. I mean, it's almost like, no disrespect, Mark, to the Central Coast Mariners, but they might be playing a few teams into form at the moment because it's been a horrible season for the Mariners, but just the sort of tonic Sydney needed last night to maybe get their season back up and going.
Yeah, terrible for the Central Coast Mariners and their fans in particular. A lot of problems at that club. Obviously, the owner and the chairman is overseas in England, so the CEO, Peter Story. So they're both overseas. They should be here. You know, if you're going to own a club, particularly a club like the Mariners who are struggling, you've got to do all you can to try and be there and be hands-on. So they don't expect it back until February, but on the park, it's probably as bad as a team I've seen since the New Zealand team in the first season of the competition. And you're right when you're talking about getting teams back into form. It's almost an easy three-pointer for anyone that's playing Central Coast Mariners. Mark Bosnich, who I work with on a Saturday, mentioned it last night as well. Bad signs, poor signs for them, but that's the Sydney FC. Look, it was a much-needed win. They were a little bit unlucky over the last couple of weeks conceding last-minute penalties. So if they had had those extra 4 points, they would have been further up the table, obviously. But a double to the captain, Alex Brosk, and then shortly after he went off. But a well-deserved and much-needed 3 points for Sydney FC.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose on the Mariners, they talked it up in the pre-season, wanting to play this attacking brand of football, and that's fine. Mark, you've been there and done that, so I bow to you here. But surely all good teams, and this is across all codes, are built on a pretty solid defence first. It just seems that the defensive mechanism or the strategies they've put into place just almost don't exist.
Yeah, you're spot on. There's been a bit of a debate about the actual team that you've got. Now, a lot of coaches in all sports inherit a team. We understand all that. The Mariners, though, have changed somewhat. They've gotten rid of a couple of experienced players, Eddie Bosnar and Liam Reddy. For whatever reason, they did that. Tony Walmsley has come out and said he could be looking to try and strengthen his side by getting a couple more experienced players. Well, I'm not too sure why I let go of two of the better experienced players in his team anyway. But defensively, yes, they certainly need to tighten up. I mean, they certainly have the firepower up front. And they've got a lot of pace in players like Austin, Fitzgerald, and even Ferreira, who came off the bench last night. So you think their game would suit a more counter-attacking kind of style than this gung-ho, all-out attack, which hasn't even been working anyway the last couple of weeks. I mean, last week against Brisbane, that's been their mantra all season, is let's go and entertain and attack. But they were a lot more defence-minded against Brisbane. So you've also got to be careful as a player fitting in a dressing room when your leader, your coach, talks about how we're going to play, and then you play differently. Mixed messages are always a tough one, and you're fighting, with a lot of danger there as well. So you've got to be very careful how you choose your words, not just to your players, but also out to the media as well. And, there are problems there. And as you said, one quick fix is trying to work on your defensive structure. I would have thought that would have happened 4 or 5 weeks ago. We're not seeing that. You know, they were very open again last night. A lot of problems at that club. A lot needs to be done in order to get them back on track. They don't deserve it because Mariners have been built on a community type of club. The fans are very passionate and very loyal as well. And I'm sure they're hurting right now seeing their Mariners play the way they are.
Well, normally, history says in these circumstances, we would normally see probably a coaching change for a side that's going as bad as they are. Can you see that happening?
I can't. To be honest, normally, you're right. Normally, anywhere in the world, when you go so long undefeated and six in a row now where you've lost, your job is on the line. I don't think that's the case. I mean, the one line that really came out and took me by surprise was when they lost 5-1 at home to Melbourne City.
Yep.
And Tony Walmsley came out and said, I'm not going to be losing any sleep over this. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, a lot of coaches these days, we're taught that coaching is a profession. It's not just a hobby. And it seemed as though that his job is extremely safe. And it doesn't matter what they do. He's going to be okay. And again, I'm not too sure how that works because coaches are always under scrutiny, no matter what code they're under or they work in. Tony Walmsley doesn't seem as though he's under a lot of scrutiny at that club, and mediocre is a term that's used quite often, particularly in the A-League, because there is a top six with only 10 teams, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. But this is beyond mediocre in terms of what's going on at that club. And I don't know how they're going to fix it, how they're going to change it, but Tony certainly seems as though his job is safe.
Well, wait and see. You talk about the top six and whether that should be right or not be the case. Gee, some teams are now starting to push up. We know the Glory have had a little bit of a revival, but so have Adelaide, who are not far away. And this is a team that looked horrible at the start of the season. 3-0 over the Phoenix last night, helped by an own goal. We know Wellington haven't always been the best travellers, but a great crowd there last night, good conditions, and Adelaide playing a better brand of football. They've had a pretty good December.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, Brett. They are. Look, I also think they were helped by Riera setting off. And they, the second yellow card, the first yellow card, I don't think it should have been a yellow card. The second one was probably about a minute after Wellington should have had a free kick on the edge of the Adelaide's box. But in saying all that, it's never easy to play against 10 men. And Adelaide played against 10 men against Sydney FC 2 weeks ago and struggled in that game, really. Only scored a last-minute penalty to win the game. But they certainly were a lot better. They're improving, very similar to when Gombau was coaching Adelaide a couple of years ago. After the first eight rounds, I thought they struggled as well, but they came good towards the end. Similar signs with Amore and this Adelaide team, but you did mention the crowd, and they were good, the Adelaide fans. They really came out and supported on a Boxing Day. You're never really sure as to how that's going to turn up, but weather was great, football was good as well. Adelaide seemed to be pushing up the table. There's no reason why they can't keep surging and really, you know, get to consolidate a top six position in the coming weeks.
Indeed. Mark Rudin with us from Fox Sports as we take a look back at the A-League and the games coming up today for our two Melbourne teams. The victory, I suppose that's the burning question here, Mark. Can they arrest this slump at the moment? They have had a horrible sort of 4 or 5 weeks. We know that the Glory, I've had a little bit of a resurgence, not always the best travellers, but they come to town knowing they've got victory, maybe at a really vulnerable time. And Brisbane and Melbourne City, that is set up for a great clash tonight.
Yeah, Brisbane, Melbourne City will be probably the pick of the round when you look at second v third in terms of the form and how they're travelling. But Melbourne Victory should be able to overcome Perth Glory. You know, even in the four games that they've lost in a row, which is a club record, you know, you always look to performances, and certainly in the second half against Melbourne City, that was one-way traffic. There's only one team in that. And Victory, what they have to do, I guess, is just concentrate a little bit better in certain moments where they're allowing opposition, to get a foot on the game. And some of those mistakes they're making right now, they're getting punished for. And that hasn't happened to the Victory for a long time. And I guess they have to overcome that. And confidence is a big factor as well. But I can't see them not giving away any points today. It's 3 points for Victory. All the players this week that have gone out in the media and been speaking about it being a grand final. Perth Glory's coach, Kenny Lowe, has been sick during the week, so I'm not sure if he's travelled or he'll be taking his spot on the bench. But that should be a three-pointer there as far as Victory is concerned. But, yeah, up in Brisbane, it's going to be a great game to watch. You've got Aaron Moy, one of the best in the competition, up against, you know, a very, very... I guess the well-coached team, John Donalowicz, has got his second chance, and he's doing everything he can to ensure that he is a very good coach and will become a very good coach as well. So it's going to be a really good contest up there.
Yeah, great game. We'll have Victory Perth, of course, live here on SEN from 5 this afternoon. Thank you, Mark. We'll catch you and the team, of course, a little bit later on Fox Sports.
Thank you, Brett. Have a good day, mate.